Greet each one in Jesus' name. Again this morning, privilege again to gather in the house of God together here. I welcome each one as we continue to worship. It's good to see the visitors here. Welcome you to continue worshiping with us. I too have been challenged by what we heard this morning. First of all, in total surrender, and then on giving, and maybe some of that I can bring into the message as we go along here. For an opening thought this morning, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. This morning, my title for the message is Choose Life. And I'd like to look at choices that we make each day. And each of us, as we go through life, as we just get up in the morning, we face a lot of choices, little decisions that we don't even think about, that we are making choices. And then there's big ones that come to us, and they have far-reaching effects that affect the future of us and our family, and even reaching into eternity. And sometimes the choices we have to make, we can't see exactly what the end result is going to be. We can't see the future. We don't know what will happen, and it makes our choices hard sometimes. I guess what got me to thinking on this subject was the events we're going to celebrate a little bit more this afternoon, as Clayton and Martha celebrating 50 years of marriage. Maybe I'd like to speak a little bit directly to their family this morning for a little bit, and the rest of you can listen. But this is just kind of my thoughts as you have come to this milestone in your lives. And I've known your family all my life. Maybe to those of you that don't know, Kathy is about 3 weeks older than me, and I have a picture of her and I and one of her cousins on the floor when we were about 6 months old. So as long as I can remember, I've known the family. And to get to the point that Claytons are at today, they've made a lot of choices along the way. And I'm sure you as a family could say better than some of the rest of us what the right choices and what the wrong ones were today, but you, as the oncoming generations, are blessed by some of the choices that your parents have made over the last 50 years. And I don't know all the family, I don't know all the incidents that happened in their life, but I do know some things. And of some of the relatives and some of the people that Clayton and Martha grew up with, they are in vastly different places today than Clayton and Martha are. And so, do choices matter? Choices make a huge difference where we end up in life. In the scripture we read in the beginning here, Moses was looking back over his life, over the experiences of the children of Israel. And it was maybe like you've been doing a time of remembrance. They look back and you can see the way things are done, and maybe analyze what had happened in the past. And, you know, was there things we could have done better? Where did we make the wrong choices? Where did we make the right choices? But when you come to a time like this, and any time, there's things you look back and you can get guidance for the future, but you're looking ahead. And that's, if you think about where the children of Israel were at this point in their life, they were coming near to the time when they were going to enter into the promised land. Moses was not going to be there much longer. And they were going to soon have a new leader, soon going to cross over, have a new land, a new leader. The challenge to them as they face this, as they move forward, was choose life. There's lots of choices to be made, but choose life. Choose the good. Choose to follow God and God's way. And so I'd say to you as a family and to each of us here, the decisions we have to make, choose life. See what God has done in the past. Look to the future and choose life. Make the choices that will help you live closer to God. I'd like to spend a fair bit of time looking at examples in the scripture of the choice that people made. A couple of them in more in depth than others, but just briefly, there is Joshua. This is a familiar verse to us, Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then there's the example of Ruth. Ruth 1:16, speaking to her mother-in-law, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And we could think right along with that of the example of her sister-in-law Orpha, who did not make this choice, but instead made the opposite choice, to go back and serve her gods, go back to her people. Different choices led those two in opposite directions. You go back to the book of Genesis, I'd like to spend a fair bit of time looking at Abraham and the choices that he made going through his life. Start in Genesis chapter 12. Where we hear of Abram in the end of chapter 11, but chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. We see here God's call to Abraham here, and Abraham had a choice. Was he going to follow God's call or not? And he made the choice to follow God, and it cost. He left his home, a lot of his family, and went to where he didn't even know where he was going to go at first. Verse 8 of the same chapter. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. The people that he moved in amongst served a lot of different gods. And Abram at this point, and he had before, I believe, but as he moved into this new country, he made a choice to serve God. So he built an altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. And then we go on to verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. We see Abram making a wrong choice here to deceive the Egyptians. It was out of fear that he did this. And we also, if we would read on in Genesis, we see that this is a mistake he didn't learn from enough, because he did this same thing again later on. Again, we won't look at that. But if you would read all of Genesis, it's there. I'd like to go to chapter 13, verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. This is a land that God had promised to Abraham and to his descendants in the future. We see Lot here, for the sake of peace, giving this up for peaceful relations with him, another choice that he made, a choice to live in peace with those around him. Chapter 16, verse 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. There's a lot we're not reading here, but God had promised a son to Abram. A lot of time had gone by, and so they took matters into their own hands. Did not wait for God's timing. A wrong choice that is still causing a lot of problems, a lot of grief in our world today. Chapter 22, verse 2. God speaking to Abraham here, and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Another choice Abraham had to make here. We could say one of the hardest choices of all, to give up the promised son that God had promised to him, and this promise had been fulfilled. His son was alive. But he made a choice here to obey God, I believe, not totally understanding what was going to happen. I think it's in Hebrews it says that he even believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead if that's what it took to fulfill his promises. But we see Abraham again obeying God, making a choice to obey. I have one more on the life of Abraham. Let's go to chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thine hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. You see, Abraham made a choice again to see that the needs of the oncoming generation were met. To provide for his children in the long term, he didn't just, as he was old, let this slide, but he was made a choice to still be concerned for the needs of his family in the future. I'd like to go to Matthew now. I'd like to look at some of the choices that Peter made. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway left their nets and followed him. Again, a choice Peter made here to follow Jesus when Jesus called him. It says, straightway he left his nets. And we have Jesus asking, we're not going to turn to this, but asking the question again when some of the disciples had turned back from following Jesus, and Peter answered him. In John 6 it says, Lord, to whom should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'd like to go to chapter 26, look at some of Peter's choices over the time of Jesus' crucifixion. Chapter 26, verse 40 and 41. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't know if this was an obvious choice, but you know, doing nothing is making a choice as well. But when Jesus could have used support, help from his disciples, he found them sleeping. Verse 51. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Doesn't say, I guess, that it's Peter here, but it would say that in the other Gospels. But he makes a choice to, when things weren't going his way, he didn't wait for direction from Jesus, but he took things into his own hand. Verse 56, the first part of the verse, Jesus speaking here. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Made the choice to leave, to run away from Jesus. Let's go to the account in John. Continue following this account in John. Maybe keep your finger in here, I'll come back. John chapter 18. Verse 17. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Not only does he flee from Jesus, but he makes a choice, to deny Jesus. He doesn't know him. Back to Matthew 26, verse 74 and 5. It's part of the same account here, and it says, Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me twice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I believe he here repented of his, made the choice to repent of his sin of forsaking Jesus here. Repent of the choice that he made before. Let's go to John chapter 21. Verse 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on in bread. Skip down to verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Jesus giving Peter another chance here. He has the choice to commit to following Jesus again. And he chooses life, chooses to follow Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. It was on the day of Pentecost, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And Peter, when he made the commitment in John there to follow Jesus, he kept with it this time. Never again did he deny his Lord, but he became bold and was the spokesman leader for the apostles. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. I'll look at one more choice here. Acts 10, verse 27. This is Peter at Cornelius' house. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Another hard choice for Peter, and this was something that totally went against his upbringing, the teaching he had. But once again, we see he made the choice here to be faithful, to continue on with what God had for him. And so here we have examples of two men here that have lived centuries apart, and they gave us a lot of examples by the choices that they made. Did they always make the right choice? No, they many times failed. But we see them, the right decisions sometimes, by faith, making the choice to follow God, even though they didn't understand exactly all that was entailed with this. I think you can see this in the verse I just read about Peter. But he was willing to follow God there. And you think of Abraham offering up his son. And then we see the times that they failed the tests. What made the difference? The times that they were strong and made the right choices. What made them fail? What made them make the wrong choices? I have two reasons to look at here. First of all, they made the wrong choices out of fear. They were afraid of what might happen if they continued on. They didn't put their trust in God. You think of Abraham lying about his wife. And you think of Peter denying his Lord. They were afraid. Didn't have the faith they should have. Another thing is when they didn't wait for God's timing. They took matters into their own hands, not taking time, not seeking out what God's will would be in their life. And we have Peter cutting off a man's ear. And I don't think that's what he meant to do. I think he was aiming for more than the ear. And Abraham not being patient for the son that God had promised him. And so let's try to make this practical for us today. The choices we have to make each day. How do we know which choices to make? And some of the choices are clear and they're distinct. And I'll maybe use the board here a little bit. Some choices are like you come to a T in the road and you're either going to go to the right or to the wrong. The next decision you come and it's more like a Y and you look down the future as far as you can see. And it don't look that far apart. How do you know which is the right decision to make? Again, I ask these two men, when they made the right decisions, what helped them make the right decision? It was when they put their faith in God. We have to conclude that it takes to make the right choices all the time, we have to have a faith in God, a strong faith in God, and confidence in His guidance in our lives. And wait for guidance from God. He will show Himself strong in our behalf. What if we make the wrong choice? Peter made a wrong choice. He denied his Lord. And he had to go back. I think the reason I read some of those verses, the only places in the New Testament that I know of where it talks about a fire of coals is those two accounts. And so I think Jesus was using that fire as a symbol where Peter denied him. He brought him there And he gives them the opportunity to make the choice to follow, to go on with his Lord. And sometimes we need to go back and again make the right choice and move on. Sometimes we have a hard time admitting we've made a wrong choice. And I think we've watched that, where people made a wrong choice and they're not willing to admit it. And they just keep stumbling along in that direction. And it becomes a worse mess. They make themselves more miserable as they go along. Sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves when we have made a wrong choice. And especially when this wrong choice that we have made hurts someone else, someone we love, and we see that we hurt them badly. Then what do? Judas, when he saw that Jesus was actually condemned, he went out and hung himself. What is the proper response when we make the wrong choices? Sometimes when we make choices, we can't totally undo the consequences. By God's grace, if we ask forgiveness, we commit again to choosing God, we can move on, choose life as we continue on. I'd like to look at some choices that we face as we go along in life. The first one I have here is the most important one, and that is the choice to follow Christ. And this is a choice that definitely, for sure, has direct consequences on where we will spend eternity. And if we look at that choice in that way, why do we find it so hard to make that choice sometimes? And I guess, thinking of this point in Brother Tim's devotions really stood out to me about total surrender. That we don't give anything back, that we lay everything out and make the choice that we are totally under God's control. We make the choice to give our all to Him. I think if we look at this in the light of eternity, it shouldn't be a hard decision. Choose life. Jesus invites us to make this choice. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another important choice is our choice of a life companion, a choice that most of us make sometime during our lives. In the spiritual life of the companion we choose, like we all know, has a very large impact on our life. And it has an impact not only on our life, but on the coming generations. And I think we can all see, we have watched people who their usefulness for God has been hampered by the companion they were married to. But on the bright side, we can see where companions that help each other, they're enhanced. Their usefulness in the kingdom of God is enhanced. They're more useful than they could be on their own. A body of believers, who are we going to associate with? And this again can have long-ranging effects on our lives. We all need the encouragement of a brotherhood, of a spiritual brotherhood. And we need a place that will help us influence our children for the Lord. Another choice is our work, our occupations. And this can be a choice that we have to make several times during our lives. And there's lots of things. Do we take money? Do we just look at the paycheck? Or do we look at the impact it has on our families, on our lives? Is this going to be something that will bless our families, or is it something that's going to tear our families apart? And there's many choices we have to make. I listed some of the bigger ones here. There's lots of little choices we have to make. And there's choices, some of these aren't so little, but on the use of our money, how much do we tithe? Our discussion in our Sunday school is interesting to me on that. So we make several decisions, several choices when we tithe. How much? What's our attitude going to be? I appreciated that discussion. How much do we spend on ourselves? How much should we spend on recreation? How much for the good of the kingdom of God? I don't have the answers for these this morning necessarily, but you to think of the decisions that we each face. How about our decisions on the use of our time? What is good use of our time? What's the most important things to spend our time on? Things to think about. And so as we as we journey on in life, the choices that we make, Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." May we, as we go through life, seek the face of God for help in making the choices we make. Again, in closing, part of the words of Moses in Deuteronomy, "See, I have set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live." Let's kneel for prayer.